Well, yesterday I woke up with a message from Mark saying that he's sick and he couldn't take today's service. And I can tell you, I immediately became very sick as well. But I thought that what I'll do today is reflect on the ordinance and the Lord's Supper. The two ordinances that the Lord gave us and commanded that we keep. The Lord's Supper and baptism. And we need to remember Calvary, what he did on the cross for us, dying for our sins. And then we need to rejoice for paving a way to salvation and eternal life. So I've titled this little talk. We're going to be here for about half an hour, if not longer. Why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Because Jesus said in 1 Corinthians, do this in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper is a soul-stirring experience because of the depths of meaning it contains. It was during the age of the old celebration of the Passover on the eve of his death that Jesus instituted a significant new fellowship meal that we observe today. It is an integral part of our Christian worship. It causes us to remember our Lord's death and resurrection and to look for his glorious return in the future. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be, I'm not sure if the word is celebrating, the death of Christ on the cross, but certainly on the Sunday we're going to rejoice because he is risen and is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now the Passover was a sacred feast of the Jewish religious year. It commemorated the final plague on Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptians died and the Israelites were spared because of the blood that was sprinkled on the doors, on the doorposts. The lamb that was slain was roasted and eaten with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. God commanded that throughout the generations to come, this feast should be celebrated, and it is recorded in Exodus 12. Today, the Last Supper, which is the Passover celebration, is recorded in Luke 22, 19 to 21, and I read, and he, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Then he concluded the feast by singing a hymn, which we will be doing after our service. They then went out to the Mount of Olives. It was there that Jesus was betrayed, as predicted by Judas. The following day, he was crucified. Now, the accounts of the Lord's Supper are recorded in all the Gospels. This is in Matthew 26, 26 to 29, in Mark chapter 14, 17 to 25, in Luke 22, 7 to 22, and in John 13, 21 to 30. The Apostle Paul, however, also wrote concerning the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. And he included a statement not found in the Gospels. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Serious accusation. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. You may ask what it means to partake in the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. It could mean to disregard the true meaning of the bread and the cup and to forget the tremendous price our Savior paid for our salvation. Lest we forget the agony that he went through in Gethsemane for us, and he asked us to remember it. And it should touch our hearts and knowing what a great Savior we have. Or it could mean to allow the ceremony to become dead and formal ritual. Let us hope and pray it never happens here. We've been into many churches in the past where they take the Lord's Supper very lightly, and I think that's tragic. Or it could come to the Lord's Supper with unconfessed sin. I think we're probably all guilty of this at some stage. We're all sinners. By grace, we need to be saved. Therefore, in keeping with Paul's instructions, we should examine ourselves before eating and drinking the cup. And I'll give you an opportunity before we take bread. Now, Jesus used the simplest elements, the bread and the wine, as symbol of his body and his blood. The broken bread speaks of his body, which would be broken. However, as predicted, not a bone was broken, but his body was so badly tortured that he was hardly recognizable, a broken body. And we read this in Isaiah 53, 3 to 7, which I'll read. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their face. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us turning to our own ways, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, but was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet, who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the hand of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. The wine speaks of his blood, indicating the terrible death he would experience. He, the perfect Son of God, became the fulfillment of the countless Old Testament prophecies concerning their Redeemer, as in Genesis 3:15, which Mark spoke about a couple of weeks ago. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. The bread stands for deliverance from sin into righteousness. The cup stands for deliverance from death into life. The cup represents the wrath of God. We are all sinners and deserve death penalty. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And again in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And lastly in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I can't imagine anyone dying because I'm a sinner. What a glorious God we serve. And we should bow down and kneel at every opportunity and give him thanks. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He indicated that this was a ceremony that must be continued in future, and he does it with us in his Father's kingdom, Matthew 26:29 states. It indicates also that the Passover, which required the death of a lamb, and looked forward to the coming Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, was fulfilled at the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance of what Christ did for us and a celebration of what we received as a result of his sacrifice, our eternal life. Now I'd like to ask Sandy to come up and read Matthew 26, 36 to 46.
Right, reading from Matthew 26, verse 36, sorry, 46, up to the end of that. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter with the two sons and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Here ends the reading. God bless.
Thanks, Eddie. That passage gives us some indication of the pain that he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now we move to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night he was betrayed. He said to them that he needed to go and pray, "As my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." He knelt down and prayed, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That cup was the sin of the world, my sin and yours. He prayed a second time, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." He then prayed a third time, similar to the second. Jesus was sorrowful because he knew what was going to happen to him. But he did it for my sins and yours. Jesus was betrayed by a friend with a kiss. He was arrested, and his friends forsook him and ran away. I pray that we never run away from Jesus. We'll be ashamed of the gospel. He was brought before the high priest, who accused him of blasphemy, and he was condemned. They spat in his face. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was stripped. He was mocked. He was humiliated and had a crown of thorns thrust on his head. The pain of those thorns piercing his flesh, his blood running down his face. But he suffered all this willingly because of my sins and yours. They drove spikes of nails through his hands and feet for my sins and yours. The cross was lifted up and thrown into a hole that was prepared for it, jolting and tearing his body breaking it. He endured this because of my sins and yours. He hung on the cross in total agony and excruciating pain because of my sins and yours. He suffered the darkness as his Father forsaked him, as he could not bear to see his Son suffer as he took the sins of the world, including mine and yours. Then at last, it is finished. His blood flowed freely from the Lamb of God to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. He took up the cup of wrath for you and me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we now come to the table, may we never forget Gethsemane. Jesus instructed us to remember him when we share communion together. As we refer to the Lord's table for a reason, it is his, not mine, not yours. Thus, he does the inviting, and we are the invited guests at his table, just as his disciples in the upper room were in the evening of the Last Supper.